May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I begin by saying a big thank you to Margaret, Helen, and their team for helping in decorating our sanctuary. Last year, which was my first harvest in St. John's, I was nearly tempted when I saw the egg. And I thought it was a real egg, but the only restraint was that I thought, you know, I was not supposed to eat while leading the service. But you look at this, it looks very real. And again, it shows just the beauty of the earth. And somebody has said that there is always beauty in the world. You will see beauty as long as you want to see it. And there's a story that was told about a man. That man was lost in the woods. Later in describing his ugly experience, he told how frightened he was and how he even knelt and prayed. And someone asked him, "So, did God answer your prayer?" And guess his response, he said, "Oh, no." The man replied, "Before God had a chance, a guide came along and showed me the way out." So he said, "Before God had a chance to answer, a guide came and helped me out." And this is without realizing that God answers us in different ways. Like that man, many of us often see less of the many blessings that God daily showers upon us. We sometimes grumble about having to eat the same old cereal, forgetting that there are many, there are thousands, if not millions, if not billions, of people in different parts of the world who will gladly exchange places with us and eat anything for breakfast. A careful reflection on the beauty of the earth reminds us of this great lesson of what God is doing in our own world. When we see the beauty of the earth and see the different things around us, the flowers, the trees, and the things around us, we can actually in many ways be thankful to God. From our reading this morning in the New Testament, we read about Jesus healing 10 lepers. Now, when you read in Luke chapter 5, you discover that Jesus at that time laid his hand upon the leper, and then the leper was healed. But in our passage this morning, Jesus saw them and only spoke a word and said to them, "Go and show yourself to a priest. Go and show yourself to a priest." Now, that sounded very awkward because that direction was supposed to take effect after their healing. But you know what happened? They went ahead. They were going ahead to see, to show themselves to a priest. And while they were going, the Bible says they were cleansed. I mean, that's unbelievable. They didn't wait to ask Jesus, "Look, we are not yet cleansed. I still have my leper. How do I go and show myself to a priest?" Because leprosy at the time of Jesus was considered to be an unholy kind of ailment. So you're not supposed to meet with people. You're not supposed to sit around people. You're supposed to sit very far from people. But Jesus said, "Go and show yourself to a priest." In obedience to God's word, they were going ahead to show themselves to a priest. And suddenly, they were cleansed. And the Bible says that out of the 10, one of them came back to give thanks to Jesus, to praise him for his mercy. And the scripture says that that person happened to be a Samaritan. And the other 9 were Jews, Israelites. And this story, in many ways, shows us the inclusiveness of God's kingdom. How sometimes do some of us or some people could claim to have right to God and others do not. But the man from Samaritan who claimed or who was supposed to be an alien, a stranger, was rather the one who came back to praise God, to give thanks. Because he saw himself to have received an unmerited favor from God. So he came back to say thank you to Jesus. He went home happier than the first time he sighted Jesus. And again, in Deuteronomy, we also read this story, the story about Moses. The Bible said that Moses, they had encamped around the Moab, just before Jordan. They encamped there, and Moses was passing on an instruction to the people of Israelites. Because God had said to Moses, you will not enter into the land. You only see it. But remember, Moses was this orator, a mediator. Moses was the lawgiver. Moses was this man after God's own heart. He sacrificed a lot in leading the people of Israel. Now, that punishment was given to Moses because at the point God said to Moses, when the people of Israel were thirsty, he said to him, speak to the rock and water will come forth. And instead of speaking to the rock, Moses in anger used his staff to hit the rock. Not once, but twice. And God said, you have not believed me enough. And so you will not enter into the promised land. I would have expected, and each time I read this passage, I am humble because I would have expected Moses to grumble, to accuse God of unfaithfulness, to accuse God of wickedness, if you like, to accuse God like Karen said this morning, this is unfair. How would you do this to me? I have suffered enough. I have led these people. We have walked these years, 40 years, almost 40 years in the wilderness. But he accepted the judgment of God. And he did not transfer anger on the people of Israel. In fact, at that point, as was read to us, he was giving them instruction on how to be thankful. He said to them, please remember this God, the God that led you out of slavery. Remember the God that took you from nothing when you were nothing. Your fathers were wanderers. Your fathers were nothing. But God took them from nothing and has brought them to a place of greatness. You know, it's so easy for us to forget. It's so easy for us to forget. And each time I speak about thankfulness, I always refer to use illustration that some students will use. For instance, a student is writing an exam, and the student makes an A. And the student says, I made an A. And then if a student failed, I wonder what I did to this lecturer. They will find fault with the lecturer, his or her teaching skills. He doesn't even know how to teach. But if they make an A, I made an A. I made an A. But Moses was saying to them, please remember your story. Don't forget your story. Don't forget how God has led you. Don't forget how you started. And Moses was actually saying to them, remember your painful stories, and also remember your pleasant stories. On a day like this, that is a day of Thanksgiving, we need to hold these two in balance. In fact, Moses was saying to them, don't edit your story. Hold your stories in balance. Hold the sad stories and hold the pleasant stories. Hold them and look at the two. And then you can see that through and through, through the moments of the sad experiences of life, God has been your ever-present help. God has not forsaken his people, and God will not forsake his people. That through and through, all the sad moments of our lives, God has been present. He has not left us. In fact, that was what Moses was saying to them. Even the days when you were slaves in Egypt,
God was right there with you.
And so in a time of thanksgiving of this nature, we hold these two in balance. We look at our life from January till this moment. We may have experienced some sad moments. We look at our times in the past years. We may have felt disappointed by God, that God has not been fair to us. We look at the lives of friends, family members, those we know and care about, and we think that they have not received their due share from God. But we look at them and we say, God, you've been faithful. We sang that earlier on. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord, my Father. Because it is by God's faithfulness that we are not consumed. Because his compassion endures forever. They are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. Great is God's faithfulness. And so we hold these two in balance. In today's service, we remember that these two boxes are going out to people in great difficulty. People who don't even know when their next meal will come. People who may not have access to some of this. So when we think about all of this, where we are, and maybe even think about the horrible incidents that is happening in different parts of the world and how God has kept us in peace in this place, we can be thankful to God. We can come to God with thankfulness in our hearts to say, God, you are wonderful. In the course of the week, I've been reflecting, and as I was having a chat with our auntie Jessie, I remember an experience I had some years ago in Nigeria, thinking about the deaf and the dumb and the mute, being politically correct. You know, and one of the services I attended, they were singing Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. But I was blown away, and that experience has not left me. And when they were singing it, when they were demonstrating it with signs, you could see smiles on their faces. You could see how they were smiling away. You could see how the kind of joy that was in their hearts. You could see how appreciative they were to God. And I was wondering this year, I was wondering this week, what is amazing about God's grace in the life of these people? In fact, the song they were singing was Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. We can be thankful no matter what the situation of life is. We can be thankful because we know we are not alone in our life journey. We can be thankful because we know that God is walking side by side, right where we are, every step along the way, that God is right there. In fact, that God is even ahead of us. That God promised, his promise is sure. He can never forsake his own. And so this morning, as we continue with our service, and I will sing this hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful. We sing this song with the understanding an appreciation of the beauty of the earth, the things we see around us, as we drive to work, as we meet friends, as we go to the garden center, and see the beauty of the earth. It reminds us to be thankful to God for the beauty of the things we see. It also reminds us to sing this song, not only in appreciation to God for all of this that we see, but to sing this song to ask that the Lord's beauty be revealed in the lives of those who are paid less for their labor, for those who see life to be unfair, for those who are lingering in pain and adversity, for those who are caught up in war-torn areas, in refugee camps. And so when we sing this song, we bear all of this in mind. So we sing this song, remembering the lives of those who are being wasted in hurricanes, earthquakes, that God's beauty be revealed in the lives of these ones. We also sing this song, remembering and reminding ourselves of the need for us to extend help and support to those around us, to our neighbors, to those who hunger and who suffer in different parts of the world. And so this morning we come to God as we continue our worship, and we'll be rising in a minute to sing All Things Bright and Beautiful, All Creatures Great and Small. Amen.